Chairperson, members of the subcommittee, for the record, my name is Paula Abrams, Executive Director of the Commission on the Judicial Branch. House Bill 2096 is another of the Commission's bills which results from the Commission's continuing review of the unified court system after the state takeover. The purpose of the bill does several things. Correct certain inaccuracies and ambiguities in existing law relating to the creation of liens, and it specifically resolves some problems created by certain legislation enacted during the 1983 session. I'd like to give a little bit of background on this bill and what happened in 1983, which will help, I think, explain how some of the problems that 2096 are intended to resolve developed. Near the end of the 1983 session, the legislature passed a bill which established a county clerk lien record. This record was to be maintained by county clerks and would serve as a public depository of certain documents creating liens on real and personal property located within the county. And the county clerk lien record was to contain certain administrative warrants and orders issued by state and local agencies that had the power to assess taxes and civil penalties, such as the Department of Revenue and the Motor Vehicle Department. In addition, the county clerk lien record was to contain judgments rendered in civil court cases which were to be filed in counties other than the county in which the judgment was rendered, and this would be for the purpose of creating a lien on property in that second county. The main purpose of that legislation in 1983 was to remove the clerks of the court, remove the burden from the clerks of the court, and transfer to the county clerks the processing of literally hundreds of tax liens generated by county tax assessors and state agencies. House Bill 2215, which you will be addressing next, deals with some outstanding questions remaining to warrants and orders, and House Bill 2096 deals with some questions that have developed and some problems that have developed as a result of the treatment of judgments under the 1983 legislation. I'd like to digress just a little bit and explain, for those who may not be familiar with the process for establishing a lien on property through a judgment, because this process is the source of some of the problems which have resulted in House Bill 2096. If you have a judgment rendered in County A, that judgment can create a lien on property of the judgment debtor in County A from the time of the docketing of that judgment in County A. Now, if a judgment is rendered in County A, a judgment creditor may seek to create a lien on property owned by the judgment debtor in County B. Prior to the creation of the county clerk lien record in 1983, if a judgment creditor sought to create a lien on property of the debtor in County B, the creditor filed a transcript of the judgment rendered in County A in the circuit court judgment docket of County B. Under the 1983 legislation, which created the county clerk lien record, if a judgment is rendered in County A, a judgment creditor seeking to create a lien on the property of the debtor in County B must instead file a transcript of the judgment in the county clerk lien record in County B and no longer in the circuit court judgment docket. This new process is, the commission felt, was bad policy for several reasons. First, it creates inconsistency in the creation of liens arising from court judgments. The inconsistency arises because the law, in effect, creates a situation in which a judgment which was a lien on the property of the judgment debtor in the county in which the judgment was rendered is created by docketing in that court's county's judgment docket. But the same judgment, if the creditor seeks to create a lien in some other county, a lien is created only if that judgment is then recorded in the county clerk lien record. In essence, you've got a judgment being created in the circuit court judgment docket in one county, which is the county in which the judgment was originally rendered, But if you go to another county and wish to create a lien, you have to take that judgment, and instead of filing it in the circuit court judgment docket, you have to now file it in the county clerk lien record. So there's an inconsistency in the law, which we believe is inappropriate, because you've got one place to go, you go to create a lien in one county, and another place you go to create a lien with a judgment in another county.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Budd.
What's the practical effect, though, of that inconsistency? If I ask the question, so it's inconsistent, what problems does it create, or why is that important?
Well, as a practical matter, I mean, I think there's several problems, and some of those practical problems, I'm going to develop when I trace some of the other problems. But one thing is that, just in terms of expectations of litigants and practitioners and parties, in one place they go for a lien, or they go to create a lien in one certain place, which would be the circuit court judgment docket, and their expectations might be that they can rely on a consistent place to go to find the lien and to create the lien, whereas as a matter of fact, they have to go just two separate places depending on which county they're in. And just as a matter, I think, of notice and clarity, it makes more sense to have a lien created in one place and maintained in one place.
Further question.
Go ahead.
What was the policy reason for changing it then in 83?
I wasn't around in 83. My understanding, and there may be some other folks here that wish to comment on that, my understanding is that there wasn't a specific policy reason for including judgments. The main intent of the 83 legislation was to address problems relating to warrants and orders, and judgments rendered in other counties just happened to be put in the kitty of documents that would be included in the county clerk lien record.
Ms. Abrams.
Yes.
If judgments obtained in County A under current law and the properties in County A, where do you file it?
If the judgment is obtained in County A, it goes into the circuit court judgment docket in County A, and that becomes a lien on the property in County A. That's under existing law, and that's how it's always been. In the originating county, the judgment is docketed in the circuit court judgment docket and becomes a lien on all property in that county. But it's the problem arises when you seek to create a lien in a county different than the county in which the judgment was originally rendered.
Right, and
under prior law, and what we are trying to do in this bill, wherever you went to create a lien, if you went to County B, C, or D, you always went to the circuit court judgment docket. The 1983 legislation said if you go to County B, C, or D, and you wish to create a lien with a judgment, you go to the county clerk lien record instead of the circuit court judgment docket.
Okay, and under the So under the proposed law, maybe we're jumping ahead, judgment and the properties in County B, you would go to the county clerk, or circuit court judgment docket.
Right.
Okay.
Which is a change from the 83, which would,
right,
which sends it to the county clerk lien record right
drawing
now.
Drawing pictures here. I gotta make sure I get my picture cartoon straight here, you know, the little captions. Okay. Thank you. Go ahead.
Another problem that arises, I guess, is that the 1983 changes in regard to judgment, there are other consistencies. For example, there are a number of existing statutes right now which specifically require that certain types of judgments be filed and docketed in the judgment docket of any county. This would be for specific types of judgments that are specifically addressed in various areas of the statute, whereas the general mandate under the 83 law is that judgments in other counties go to the county clerk lien record. So the result is a patchwork system where certain judgments are to be recorded in the county clerk lien record and certain other judgments specifically by statute are to be filed and docketed in the judgment docket. Finally, the 1983 legislation also creates certain problems relating to enforcement of these judgments. the first step in enforcing the judgment, obviously, is the creation of the lien on the property. The second step, if the obligor or the judgment debtor does not pay, is the execution of judgment through the seizure of that obligor's property. Establishing the county clerk lien record provided a convenient method of recording large volumes of documents which created liens, but it complicated the problem of enforcement of the underlying obligations because county clerks have no authority to issue legal process, such as writs of execution, garnishment, etc. Under Oregon law, certain judgments, such as foreign judgments, which are judgments rendered in other states and in the federal court, are to be recorded in the county, may be recorded in the county clerk lien record. So if the party goes to execute on those particular judgments, which may be recorded in the county clerk lien record under the 83 legislation, it's uncertain how the judgment creditor can obtain legal process because the county clerks do not have the authority to issue process or execution on these judgments, and the creditor would go back to the court clerk and say, I'd like to issue execution on a particular judgment which is in the county clerk lien record, and the court clerk says, well, we don't have a record of that particular judgment, so we can't issue execution on it. These types of are some of the other problems that have cropped up with having some of the judgments in the county clerk lien record as opposed to all of them in the judgment docket.
Could I ask a question?
Representative Bob.
As a practical matter, how have they worked that problem out?
I'd like to defer to Mr. Linden on that.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Bunn, we've taken the position that if we don't have the underlying documents that would, for which process or enforcement would issue, that we do not have the authority to initiate that process. So this was one point I was going to comment on. The problem you have is you're giving the county clerks this authority under law, they don't have corresponding authority, as Ms. Abrams noted, to issue legal process. We've got the authority to do that, but we don't have the, if it's filed in the county clerk lien record, we don't have the documents on which we'd issue process. Now, there is one way around this, and that is for a party to obtain from the county clerk a certified record of the judgment and then bring it to us, and that's the way we've sort of dealt with it as a stopgap.
Thank you.
For these reasons that I've outlined above, the commission recommends that judgments rendered in other counties be once again filed in the circuit court judgment docket rather than the county clerk lien record. And this change is reflected specifically in section one of the proposed bill, and aspects of it are reflected throughout the bill. That would be one of the primary recommendations that's incorporated in House Bill 2096. Another problem that 2096 is intended to address may have also been created by the 1983 legislation. When the 1983 measures were enacted, the legislation may have inadvertently repealed a lien that was intended to arise from recording a judgment in the county clerk lien record. And this is kind of a technical problem that is a language problem, but it results in a serious substantive problem that 2096 is intended to address. The reason we say that this may have inadvertently happened is ORS 18.320 and 18.350 provide that a lien is created upon the docketing of a judgment in a court's judgment docket. The use of this term docketing refers to the court judgment docket, not the county clerk lien record. And by the use of that term in these particular statutes, a lien may not have been created if a party actually recorded the judgment in the county clerk lien record as was required by the 1983 law. So you have a possible situation, an ambiguity, I think, at best, where a party who is required by the 1983 law to record in the county clerk lien record may not, in fact, have actually legally created a lien because of certain other statutes that say a lien is created only when the judgment is docketed, which by that terminology leads you back to the circuit court judgment docket. So there are certain sections of the bill which are intended to, one, resolve that ambiguity and to protect good faith attempts to create liens during this period between 1983, the enactment of that legislation, and the effective date of this bill. So it would, there are sections in sections 2 and 8 in particular attempt to resolve those problems. And this leads me to a problem that is by implication already arisen through my testimony, is that the bill also serves to correct the use of certain terminology relating to the creation of liens and the handling of judgments, that right now there are some serious inaccuracies and ambiguities in the statutory language in these areas. And some examples: trial courts are required to maintain certain records, including a journal and a judgment docket. The journal is an account of the proceedings of the court, whereas the judgment docket is a public record of certain actions that occur usually during trial. And right now, the existing statutory language interchanges the use of such words as file, enter, docket, and record in ways that are inaccurate. One example I just explained above, some of the statutory language uses docket when they should be using record, because they are really talking about the county clerk lien record or deed records, and the proper terminology there would be record. And in fact, they use docket, which should refer to only to the judgment docket. So this bill also attempts to clean up some of the terminology that's used inaccurately and has created some of the problems that exist right now. Finally, House Bill 2096 clarifies.
Could I just, on that point, are you seeing in reviewing other legislation that if this provision passes, that next session we're going to have to kind of clean up in other bills? Are we continuing to have this controversy or problem down in Legislative Council's office, I guess?
Mr. Chairperson, member of the subcommittee, I can't speak for the entire ORS. Obviously, on this area, we've worked very hard on trying to pull together all the relevant statutory provisions that where we saw inaccuracies and problems arising from use of terminology. And the problem is not so much, we believe the problem was not so much from careless or problems with Legislative Council as that there was certain attempts, I think, last session to kind of piggyback the provisions that were created in 83 dealing with the county clerk lien record onto existing statutes that dealt with judgments and judgment dockets. And that attempt to kind of integrate two very different things into one statute, I think, may have resulted in some of the inaccurate use of language that we're seeing right now. Hopefully we've caught a lot of the language and problems relating to the creation of liens. That's one of the main purposes of this bill.
Okay.
Finally, I would just add that there are a number of other provisions in 2096 which are intended to clarify certain other ambiguities under existing law relating to judgments, such as the provisions for renewal of judgments and settlement of judgments and certain other areas like that. I would be happy to walk subcommittee through the bill or to answer any questions.
Should we hear from Mr. Linden first?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, bill number state administrators. I've provided the subcommittee with written testimony that very closely parallels the comments Ms. Abrams made, so I will not rehash those. Just, if I could, a couple of points. The anomaly we have today is that we have documents going into the county clerk records and the county clerk not possessing authority to do anything with those documents. On the other hand, we have the court clerks with the authority to enforce, not having in our records the documents on which to base that enforcement. The changes in 1983 were well intentioned. There was a problem in a number of trial courts with basically tax warrants that are generated by the county assessor. I can relate from personal experience what we ran into was a problem of hundreds of those being dropped on the clerk's office at one time, with the court clerk having the obligation to docket those the same day or as soon as possible, and it created real workload kinds of difficulties. That was, I think, the underlying problem in 3, and I think that Senate Bill 773 certainly took care of that. It also, we find now, took care of some other things that I don't think were as well thought out at the time as could have been possible. I do think 2096 resolves most of these problems that have come to our attention in the interim period. I want to highlight that I agree with Ms. Abrams in her discussion about the language in ORS Chapter 18 and the question of whether Senate Bill 773 really did have the effect that I think the legislature intended it to have in terms of the filing and the county clerk lien record creating a lien. I think there are significant reasons to doubt as to whether or not that is actually the effect of the prior bill when you look at the language of Chapter 18 in terms of docketing judgments and docket. I think we have a question as to whether or not one of the major intended effects of Senate Bill 773 is really what we have today. A quick point on the language question that was asked. The Judicial Department has another piece of legislation that will be introduced that deals with records management. And in that bill, we propose further clarification of terms in ORS related to court records, such as entered, journal, file, etc. But they are, I believe, going to be quite consistent with the changes we're suggesting here, and just go a little bit further. And then finally, I'd like to just highlight that this bill does take into account the fact that we had a two-year period in which we had this situation. There are grandfather clauses in the bill. There are conforming amendments that would complete the return of judgment liens to the court system, and there is also a hold harmless provision related to potential state liability arising from the administration of the 1983 Act. The intent is to cover all the possible bases, and I do believe 2096 would fix most of what we have found is wrong with the 83 legislation.
Questions? Could I ask you about, and I think it must be Section 2 of the bill, and it's about the fees from a judgment debtor, and you're suggesting in this bill that we just eliminate the fee because of the problems, and so basically we'll eat that cost on that. Is that
Mr. Chairman, if I could respond to that. The Chief Justice in 1983 established a fee for filing satisfaction of judgments. We found in applying that fee that it was having an adverse effect, and the effect was this. Very often the creditor or debtor would argue over who's going to pay the satisfaction. And what we were finding was that in many cases, neither side would agree to pay it. And as a result, satisfied judgments were not being brought to the court's attention so that we could note in our judgment records that a judgment had actually been satisfied. The Chief Justice and I, in consultation with the trial court, decided as a policy matter it was more important for our judgment records to be current than it was to try and collect a $4 fee that the parties were disputing. So as a result of that, we decided that the disputing in the sense of who was going to pay it, as a result of that, we decided not to assess that fee, and the effect, we believe, that we haven't done anything empirical to quantify this, is that, there are now no impediments for parties, either debtors or creditors, to initiate providing the courts with information that a judgment has been satisfied. And again, we feel very important that our judgment records be current and up to date. I don't want to encourage parties not to let us know when we can note something satisfied.
Those fees currently go into your general, into the general fund. They don't go to the counties.
No, the fees we would collect for that activity would go to the state general fund.
Okay, so we'll lose that revenue.
Mr. Chairman, yes, we would.
Is that a, do you know how much we're talking about here? Millions and millions. I appreciate the problem.
I don't have a fiscal impact statement, yeah. But I'll provide you.
Okay. I thought I had another question. Well, are there any questions in this area? I guess I had a question on trying to figure out, I guess it's section 9 of the bill. In terms of satisfaction of the judgment, so it would be filed in our example in County A, but now will it be filed in County B as well? I still haven't figured that.
Mr. Chairperson, members of the subcommittee, the way Section 9 is structured and is intended to work is that if you have a judgment that has been satisfied in County A, your judgment is in the court judgment docket, so your satisfaction would go in the court judgment docket. If you have recorded a judgment in the county clerk lien record somewhere because of this legislation in 83, so somewhere between 83 and 85, hopefully, if this bill is passed, and you have recorded a judgment in County B in the county clerk lien record, and the satisfaction also goes with the judgment in the county clerk lien record. The idea being that although we're trying to get all the documents relating to the judgments back into the court dockets, and that's why renewed judgments are to be renewed in the circuit court in the judgment docket as in paragraph 1 of section 9, but in the case of satisfactions, it makes sense for the satisfaction to, in a sense, follow the judgment because the satisfaction closes the case and extinguishes the lien. So in that situation, it made sense that if there is a judgment in the county clerk lien record somewhere, that the satisfaction should be recorded with that judgment.
Okay. Then does the, how does County B under the bill, where there's a lien filed, how do you know that there's been satisfaction on that judgment?
It's it'd be the responsibility of the party to record that satisfaction.
In County B as
in
well?
In County B, as, yes.
Okay. In the judgment docket?
In the county court lien record in what? County B.
How come not the circuit court judgment docket?
This section 9 is intended to deal with
only with this interim period.
This interim period between 83 and 85, supposedly our effective date in 85. So during that period, you will have had judgments in County B, which will be recorded in the county clerk lien record, to cover for satisfactions of those judgments that have been put in the county clerk lien record. Section 9 is intended to cover that interim period, and that what it provides is that the satisfaction follows the judgment. If you have a judgment that's in a judgment docket, then the satisfaction should be filed in the judgment docket. If you have a judgment that's recorded in the county clerk lien record somewhere, the satisfaction should be recorded correspondingly in the county clerk lien record. That closes the matter.
Okay.
The case.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can we have a short quiz on that?
Yeah. We have Mr. Cosgrove from the Oregon State Bar, debtor-creditor section, who has an amendment.